The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back here on Analyze This. So I want to thank the Women's Coalition of St. Croix, W. Benjamin, Liz Stewart, and Shalene Gums for joining us this morning. And don't forget Sunday down in the West, right? We got the women's 39th annual women's race and all the different sponsors. Thank you for supporting. So I ain't got me the Take 12 June edition yet, right? So I was scrambling saying, but what about programming notes? And then I told myself, just go to the website Dummy and you're going to get everything. You know what I mean? So I like to call myself Dummy, by the way. Dummy and Jackass. That's me. That's the 2 times I like to call myself, right? So tonight at 7, the PBS News Hour. At 8, Fire on the Hill, the Cowboys of South Central LA. And then at 9, Lydia Celebrates America, Flavors That Define Us. Right, and then at 10 p.m., we'll meet again, right, coming out. And then at 11 p.m., I'm on Pour & Company, okay? So we got the PBS News Hour at 7, Fire on the Hill, the Cowboys of South Central, L.A. And then at 9, we got Flavors That Define Us, and 10 coming out, right? So we're good, right? So that's the programming notes for tonight, June 1, and I forget to mention, you know what I'm saying? I'm telling my engineer now, B, the first 5 months fly cross. Yo, I was counting the days, you know? That this is not a this is not a leap year. So we had April, 30 days, and then we had January, March, and May at 31, and February at 28. So 151 days done in the books already. And I mean, it really has hung by. You know what I'm saying? So, right. Let's be productive and try to make things work for a better Virgin Islands. So, do we have Miss Amy Gibbs on the line? The artist, visiting artist for the month of July here on St. Croix. Good morning, Miss Gibbs. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm glad. Good. I'm good. Thanks for asking. Tell us about yourself, your background, where you grew up, all that good stuff, and how you fell in love with art.
All that good stuff. Okay. Well, I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
I went to college at a school called the Atlanta College of Art in Atlanta, Georgia, that actually no longer exists. It has since been bought by Savannah College of Art and Design as an extension of their campus. But it was a very small fine art school. We had only about 350 students. And when I graduated from college, I moved to Prague, Czech Republic, where I lived for 2 years. I taught art and English to children the first year that I was there. And the second year that I was there, I did a collaborative project with an artist at the Fine Arts Academy in Prague, where we did a project for an Austrian art, science, and technology festival called Arts Electronica, that we got a grant from the Austrian government to do that project. And then soon after, about 25 years ago, I moved to St. Thomas in the Caribbean, and I opened my art studio 10 years ago. I have a community art center in St. Thomas called the Art Explorium, where I teach children and adults. I have about 50 kids from all different schools that I teach. And then I have, every Wednesday night for the past 10 years, I have a wine and creation event called Art Uncorked, where people have a chance to come together and create and sort of just forget about stress, worry, and fear, and just really enjoy the therapeutic aspects of creation. Sort of it in a nutshell.
So you're actually going to be where for the next month?
I
As a visiting artist to St. Croix, where are you going to be stationed at?
So I applied. I came over. Lucien Downs curated a show.
Yeah.
He curates a lot of shows over there at the Caribbean Museum Center, and he invited me to participate in the New Blood show last mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. So I went over and found out about their residency and applied for it. And so I will be at the Caribbean Museum Center. They'll give me a studio and an apartment. So I'll be living there for the month of July. And I'll be doing, each week, 3 days a week, I'm doing community outreach. And because I teach all ages, they've asked me to do, each week I do a different age group. So the first week is going to be 6 to 8 year olds. The second week is going to be 9 to 13. The third week is teenagers. And the last week is going to be for adults.
So you said Charleston. No, I went to Charleston in 2018, and I saw some buildings that reminded me of home.
Yes, it does have a very similar feel.
Tell us about that. There's a colonial feel, the way some of the buildings were constructed and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Charleston does have a really rich history, and it does kind of remind me a lot of St. Thomas, but I mean, honestly, I haven't been back there, I go to visit, but I haven't been back there for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
This is my home. St. Thomas is my home. St. Thomas, Caribbean culture, and this is, feels like really the even though I'm from Charleston, I most relate and feel at home here in St. Thomas. And I've done, you know, I've traveled in St. Thomas. I've done some classes and so forth in St. John. What I haven't really explored that much is St. Croix. And so I'm really looking forward to connecting with the people there in St. Croix.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when did you fall in love with art?
Oh, my gosh. That was from childhood. I think that art really, in my opinion, it really... has the power to change the way we see the world, to awaken new perspectives. And I think that self-expression is so important. And it's so important in my life as really art, as I said, as a therapeutic process. And that's the reason that I created the community art center that I have, is because I wanted to share this gift. I feel really that when I'm creating, when I take the time to turn off my phone and to disconnect and really just connect with the process of creating itself, that, you know, it's when I'm happiest. And I've seen in the past 10 years, because like I said, I've had thousands of people come through my studio, and I've seen the power of it. And I enjoy being able to give people a space where they can come together to create and to understand that it's not even about the product itself. It's not about the end result. It's about the process. It's about really letting go, learning to let go, because I believe that everybody has creative potential. And I have a lot of people that come to me that have been terrified and tell me that it's been years that they've wanted to come. It took a lot of courage for them to be able to walk in the door feeling like they weren't going to be able to express themselves, or they weren't going to be happy with the result. And I find that if you create a nurturing space where people can really, you give them a few tools, and I'm there to sort of walk around and help people to realize what it is that they want to express. There's a lot of places, around the world and in the States that have wine and painting events where I feel what I'm doing, that I try to be a little bit different, is that I'm not up there saying that there's one painting and this is what it is that you're going to create. Everybody's going to do a step-by-step thing, because I feel that then people aren't able to realize their own potential because they're just copying what you're doing. And what I want people to do is go through that process of trying to figure out, you know, how it is that they can get what they're feeling, you know, onto the canvas or onto the, not necessarily just painting. I try to do different projects each week so that people have a chance to try different mediums, because myself as an artist, I'm really interested in a lot of different mediums. I'm interested in experimentation. And I think that each one has its own qualities. And sometimes people, might not connect necessarily with painting, or they don't feel that they can express themselves, but they come to a sculpture class, for instance, and they see more dimensionally, and they're able to express themselves differently. So I always encourage people to try a lot of different mediums until they find one that sort of connects with them.
Now, you said you spent some time in Prague.
Prague, yes, in the Czech Republic.
Yeah, tell us about tell us about life in Prague, and how did that broaden your vision and your scope as an artist?
Oh, that's a great question. So after I graduated from art school, when I moved to Prague, and I think anytime you get out of where you live, you have a limited perspective. You can only see what's right in front of you. Whenever you get away and see from afar, you see how other cultures live. I grew up in the States, on the mainland, and it was the only way that I knew. So when I was able to understand, especially living in Europe with a rich history and culture and art being so much a part of their everyday, of seeing, walking into buildings that were so old, even if you're going to the pharmacy, you're walking into something that has so much rich history and culture and a lot of sculptures everywhere. And when I worked with the professor at the university there, and we did basically what the project that we did for the Austrian Festival, it was at the time that the internet was really, at that point, it hadn't really even come in the hands of everyday people. It was being used at universities, some medical professions. And so what we were, basically our idea was that the internet, that all of this was sort of changing human consciousness, and that when Moses freed the Jews from slavery, that it also changed human consciousness. So what we did was this metaphorical walk through the Negev desert. There's a lot of ideas, of course, of what the path was, but we worked with some artists, some Israeli artists, and that did silicone graphics. And so we were sponsored by Land Rover and by GPS. And what we did was we took we were taking coordinates. We were going through the desert for 4 days, and we had worked ahead of time with some Israeli artists to create images of our path so that people in real time at the festival in Austria, as we moved through the desert, another image would download, and they could put all the images together to follow our path through the desert. So it was really incredible. I think another thing that happened for me there was seeing, for instance, we got this grant to do this project, and there wasn't a painting or a sculpture or anything that you could hang on the wall. I feel that they had a different sense of what I was used to, of understanding the power of art to uplift the community and the culture. It wasn't art as a commodity, per se. So I feel that that really helped me to understand, how different people perceive art and how important it is in culture.
What is it about? Tell us about the buildings in Prague and what you saw.
Oh my God, there's buildings from every century. I mean, I didn't even realize, I never knew that there was Cubist architecture until I was in Prague. It's such a fascinating place.
What's that terminology you just used? What kind of architecture?
I'm sorry?
What's that term
Cubist
you just used?
There's Cubist architecture there.
Cubic?
Cubist, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known about Cubism and about paintings and sculpture, but I'd never seen Cubist architecture before I lived in Prague. There's architecture for all different types, all different centuries, and it's absolutely beautiful. It's like a medieval city. It's a very, very magical place. Very magical. I loved going. I would love to go back to Prague one day. But yeah, I lived there for 2 years, and I enjoyed it very much. Have you been there?
No, I've never been to Europe. What's it like? What type of government was in place when you were there?
Well, in 89, there was, they overthrew the communist government. So
yeah.
That was part of me. I was there in 93, the end of 93 to 96. So it was an interesting time. They always say that, you know, at Paris in the 20s, a lot of artists and writers and so forth went to Paris. And I felt that I was sort of in Prague at a similar time of this sort of exciting time that that they were, you know, communism was done and people were excited to learn about the West. And I started teaching English at a preschool, and I wound up teaching conversational English to adults. And that's where I learned a lot about the culture and how people felt. And it was just an exciting time because there was about 30,000, it was like 1.5 million people. There were about 30,000 expats living there, you know, from all over the world. And it was just a really exciting time. There was a lot of artists and writers, a lot of artists that I got to work with that I still keep in touch with today that live all different places in the world. But yeah, it was a really exciting time to be there for sure. And because the Czech during the war, they didn't really fight back. I mean, I got to travel a little bit. I went to Warsaw, and
you went to Poland.
You know, their city was completely, yes, I went to Warsaw, and their city was completely destroyed and rebuilt. But the Czechs really was such a small nation, and they didn't really fight. So it was interesting because at the time the artist that I worked with, he grew up there until he was 15. They immigrated to Germany, and he said everything was the same from, you know, the park bench, and every little thing was exactly the same. So it's just such a magical medieval city.
Now, when you were telling me about Cubism, and while you were talking, I looked it up. So this is the Picasso type of art you're talking about, right? Pablo Picasso. And,
yes, Picasso was like the grandfather.
The Cubist movement, or transparency. These are the common characteristics: transparency, spatial ambiguity, form faceting, and multiplicity. Architects also borrowed and played with concepts like abstraction, geometrization, symbolism, distortion, fragmentation, and illusion. Wow, this was a free spirit time of architecture.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, there was another building. I can't remember what it was called, but it was supposed to be Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers, like, dancing. The building felt as if it was dancing.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible. Yeah, it was really... If you get a chance to go there, I would highly recommend it.
Yeah, they say the four important characteristics of Cubism are the application of multiple perspectives, the use of geometric shapes, a monochromatic color palette, and a flattened picture plane. Wow. Wow.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
And how did you know, we'll go for a break. I like this because I'm learning, you know what I'm saying? This is awesome. We'll take a break. We got Amy Gibbs. She's going to be in St. Croix for the month of July at the Caribbean Museum Center for the Arts down in the West. She's going to be the visiting artist. Take a break. Come back and talk some more about her and her art and art in general. So it's Arts Thursday here on Analyze This. We'll be right back.
New business opportunities at Banker St. Croix. Banker St. Croix offers deposit banking products, business online platforms, and commercial loans. Our SBA lending department offers financing options and access to capital for businesses. Banker St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay, 340-773-8500, and Peters Rest, 340-713-8500. BankerSt.Croix.com. Banker St. Croix is an equal housing lender.
Took white America by storm, broke down barriers
to be a black artist and go to the top of the pop charts,
and changed music forever.
If you look at music and where rock came from, he is right in there.
See why there is only one.
That I am the king of rock and roll!
Little Richard on American Masters.
Friday, June 2nd at 9 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12. These days, people go to great lengths to shed the stress of daily life. There's acupuncture, deep tissue massage, meditation, yoga. At All Things Considered, we offer our own type of healing, invigorating news stories that span the rainbow of human experience. Nourish your mind and escape from the ordinary. Weekdays on All Things Considered from NPR News.
From 5 to 8 p.m., right here on WTJX FM 93.1.
The news nowadays is a bit like our weather, much more extreme. The headlines that grab the most attention generate a lot of heat and not much light. On 1A, we rely on your questions and stories to help us better understand the issues that demand more than a few tweets. With your help, we'll get to the heart of the story together.
Catch 1A at its new time, weekdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here on Analyze This, and we're talking with Miss Amy Gibbs. She's an artist. She's a Virgin Islander now. She ain't going back. Originally from South Carolina, but she's one of ours, like I was saying, St. Thomas. Right? Miss Gibbs, glad to have you on the show. Good morning.
Hello.
Yeah. So, Miss Gibbs, first of all, one of my listeners, we got a great artist on St. Croix by the name of Elroy Simmons. I don't know if you've ever met him, but when you're over here in July.
I have not.
Hello?
Yes.
Have you ever met Elroy Simmons?
I have not had the pleasure. It's one of the things that I'm really hoping. Jessica from the museum had mentioned to me that she might try to create a sort of round table discussion and get a lot of the artists together when I'm there, mm-hmm. which I would love.
Yeah,
one of my listeners
informed me that Cubism is one of the foundations for his art. So that would be nice if you could.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's a great local artist. Great. He's been doing work here. He's been an artist here. Let me see. I'd say easily 50 years. He was actually a teacher at one of our junior high schools. He taught my brother. So I'm hoping that at some point you could meet the incomparable Elroy Simmons when you get over here on St. Croix. I didn't mean to cut you off. What's the name of the what's the art exploration? That's the name of the show? That's the name of your studio?
So the name of my studio is called the Art Explorium.
Art Explorium. Okay, I'm sorry.
The name of my event that is kind of more branded is it's called Art Uncorked is the name of my Wednesday night event.
Mm-hmm.
But okay. the studio itself, yeah, it's called the Art Explorium, which was kind of originally created as a place for kids to come. I noticed that a lot of the art programs in schools were being cut and sort of defunded. And I felt that there was really, at the time that I created my studio, they had the School of Visual Arts and Careers here in St. Thomas that was, you know, created for students who wanted to pursue a career in art at the high school level.
Sorry? No, I apologize for cutting you off. Go ahead. You were talking about kids in school.
No, that's okay. So I felt that there was a big gap starting from about 6 years old up to high school. And so I originally created my studio really for kids, a place where kids could come and just dream and have ideas and parents don't have to worry about them getting messy in their house. I love to get messy, and I love to give kids everything they need to, you know, to dream and create big. And so I actually just had, from the time I opened 10 years ago, I had a student named Cy Sebastian who has been with me for 10 years. He just graduated this past weekend. He's been with me since I've opened my doors, and he's going off to art school, and I just couldn't be more proud of this. He actually just won second place in the congressional art competition there in St. Croix. But anyway,
that's nice. What's the name? Cy Sebastian?
Cy Sebastian, yeah. Name to remember. He's
incredible. The reason why I was jumping in just now And I apologize for that. That's bad manners on my part. But I was excited. I was excited because it seems to me that we are in the infancy of the Virgin Islands becoming an art studio enclave.
Yes.
I don't know if we realize it that, but we actually may be on the cusp of where we are establishing an identity with respect to art. Because I'm hearing about studios. Yeah. You got the Art Explorium. That's you, right? We got 81C, right?
Yeah.
That's with Zach, right? That's his name, Zach.
Yes, Zach and Joseph, yeah.
Zach and Joseph. That's on the St. Thomas side. And I think you mentioned another studio just now over there as well.
Clay Jones has been around longer than all of us.
Yeah,
7-7 art initiative.
And then we got the Cane Roots Art Gallery on Christiansted, and we got the Caribbean Museum for the Arts down in the West, right?
I think that Lucy and Downs is doing a lot for
yes,
the arts.
And yes. I know so I'm starting to think that we are the evolution, right? Something is happening in the Virgin Islands. It makes sense because one of the greatest that ever lived, Picasso. I mean, not Picasso,
Pizarro,
Camille Pizarro, right? I mean, come on now. I'm starting to think that if we could get some support, you know, on the public and private sector side and make a commitment to making the Virgin Islands the art, you know, the art capital or the art, whatever it is of the Caribbean or the hemisphere, then, I mean, of course, it's hard to compete with New York because they got so much money and all that stuff and people, but we have something that New York can only dream of having, which is great weather throughout the year.
Right.
So,
well, the Caribbean culture being so rich and you know, African, Indian, European, all of these cultural elements, mm-hmm. but I think in the diversity.
Latin.
But I think, yes, mm-hmm. exactly. It's such a unique identity. But I think I agree with you, and that's actually why I'm. I just had a fundraiser last weekend. I celebrated my 10-year anniversary, and I'm also launching a nonprofit called Art House VI.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my feeling is that there's a lot of these. You know, you talk about having the funding and so forth. There's a lot of EDC companies that are you know, part of them, as we know, getting their tax breaks are that they have to contribute to the community. And I feel like, you know, it's important to have art and arts education. And one of the things, I used to be on the board for Arts Alive, a nonprofit here that was developed in Tillett Gardens by Rhoda Tillett. And one of the things that we used to do is we would send students who are in 10th or 11th grade to the States to do summer programs so that they could build their portfolios and have an edge up when they go to apply for college to get scholarships. And we don't have that organization anymore. So there's a lot of things I want to do with this nonprofit, but that's one of the things that I want to do is certainly offer scholarships for kids to pursue these art careers.
Well, one of the things that I was looking at was doing a remote show on Monday, July 10th in St. Thomas. Because that's the birthday of Camille Pizarro. So I was speaking with the owner of the Cane Roots Art Gallery, Sonia Nahardin. We were trying to put together some type of weekend event, but it isn't coming to fruition. But yeah, it's something that we can always do at any time, where we can get artists from around the world to come to the birthplace of Camille Pizarro, the father of Impressionism, and that happens here because he was born on St. Thomas, and
I know.
we need to start using, just like Alexander Hamilton being he born in Nevis, but you know, his foundation years were here on St. Croix. You know, we need to use, you know, our contributions to foundational history for great contributors in the arts and whatever disciplines in the world to our benefit.
Absolutely. So you said it was going to come to fruition, or you don't think it will?
No. We thought about it conceptually, you know, and, you know, things take time and all that stuff. And, You know, some things happen. So if it don't happen this year, at some point, you know, we want to do a Pizarro Festival based in St. Thomas, right? Because, you know, it makes sense. And there is a Pizarro studio, right, over there in St. Thomas.
Gallery, yeah.
A gallery. That's the word, gallery. Yeah.
I think it's taken many forms, but if I'm not mistaken, and I might be, I think that 81C now has possession of the Pizarro Gallery, and that they're trying to do maybe sort of a residency program or something.
Okay, that'd be awesome. But we're definitely working on me doing a remote show on July 10th over there.
If it's next year.
We could still do. It wouldn't take much for us to make it happen from a remote location for this particular show, and we still got 5-6 weeks to work with. The thing is, our St. John celebration is a week before. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Remember, we go to St. John for 4th of July, Emancipation, and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? So we're working on logistics and all that stuff. So hopefully it can happen. It's not guaranteed, not promised, but that would be what I would want for us to, you know, because we keep talking about.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, we do the Arch Thursday, so if you could do a remote show on that Monday, it would be nice. You know what I'm saying? So, because every week we keep hearing about stories and paintings selling. Now, last week, I heard of the story of this missing Van Gogh, right? This $62 million painting. I don't know if you've heard about it, right? There was a Van Gogh painting that was sold for $61.8 million in 2014. And they can't seem to find it, but it's connected to some Chinese guy who is in the Caribbean. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that I like to talk about whenever I mention Pizarro is, I mean, he has paintings that have sold for $14 and $19 million. And one of my biggest peeves with artists is that y'all are doing this great work and getting properly compensated, you know, seems like it never happens. And
happens after we die, that's all.
Yeah. You're right. It looks like you have to die. You have to die for your painting to have value, which is nonsense. You know what I'm saying? But
yes.
But that's one of my biggest things, you know, so and I talk with Lucien Dongs and other artists who have come on. Y'all got to get paid for the work you do because the work is so brilliant.
Well, thank you. I'm really excited to come to St. Croix. And I've been admiring the work of St. Croix artists for years because they had, I don't know if you remember, but they used to have a show called Caribbean Color. And it was the one show every year that there were artists from all three islands would come together, and they would have a different color every year that the artist would interpret. And every year when the work would come over from St. Croix, I was always blown away by the work. So I'm really excited to be there and connect the community.
And you're gonna love hanging out at the Caribbean Museum Center for the Arts down in the West. It's really...
I've only ever been over... I had a show at Cane Roots a few months ago, you know, and I come over for the night and then I have to go right back
No, when you hang out here for the West, for that month and you're going to be down in the West, you're guaranteed to fall in love. In particular with the sunset, because there's a pier down there and the sun, it just lays down on top of the pier. It's the most beautiful thing. I'm telling you that you're going to do a painting of it because.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, Lucien told me. I think you're going to want to move here after you spend a month here.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I've seen some beautiful vistas on the western side, sunset vistas on St. Thomas as well. You know what I'm saying? Because y'all got those big mountains and you can get the kind of angle. You can see that you're actually looking down at the sun setting. You know what I'm saying? Which is cool. But you're going to really love that sunset down on the Frederickstead side of the island.
Well, I'm curious to know what does it mean to be Crujian? What exactly does that mean? Like, what separates Tomian from a Crujian? What's the difference?
Tomian people, they like to do, they're merchants. they're in the business. You know what I'm saying? They like to, they're the hustle. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. they like to do things. They're traders. I'm just talking historical fact. They're merchants. Mm-hmm. They're traders. They do things. They like the movement of business and all that stuff. And St. Croix, you know, we were farmers back in the day, but we're more rebellious. We're like St. John. In a weird way, St. John is connected to St. Thomas, but from a mental standpoint, we're kind of rebellious. Because both of us, both St. Croix and St. John, we believe St. Thomas like to run things too much. So as a result, you know, we're like the stepchildren. You know, nah, we tired of you telling me how to do it, you know what I'm saying? So, no, but by the same token, too, we're also more laid back on St. Croix. It's flat compared to St. Thomas and St. John. And you could drive here and drive and drive, unlike in St. Thomas where you got to navigate hills and all that stuff. So we're just a more laid-back setting, bigger, you know, 2.5 times bigger than St. Thomas, 4 times bigger than St. John. So, you know, but you're going to like it. Right. Guaranteed. And in particular, don't
know. Well, I like what I've seen so far, that's for sure.
Yeah. So you're looking forward to spending a month on St. Croix?
I'm so looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to doing the community outreach, to connecting with the community, to connecting with the artists. Honestly, to have some time, you know, I appreciate the museum putting that confidence in me to give me the time and space to create, because I'm so busy, you know, trying to sort of fulfill my mission of you know, getting as much, reaching as many people as I can. Believing in the power of art, and I used to go once a month to UVI and do classes for 70 to 100 people for faculty, students, staff.
Wow.
You know, travel to St. John. I just try as much as I can. I do, team building kind of thing sometimes for companies. I can't imagine a better job than the one that I have. But it doesn't leave me a lot of time and space to actually, you know, create it, because you have to have that space, because I'm constantly, you know, packing up everything. And then the next day it's a whole new class. It's a whole new group. It's a whole new age group. So to just have that span of time and space to create a whole new body of work. I had this big fundraiser I was telling you on May 20th, a few weekends ago. And I kind of created a gallery space in my studio, and I was ready to kind of let go of my babies of work that I've been holding on to for a while. It was time for them to find new homes, and I'm coming to create a whole new body of work and being able to have the space and let the time inform the work.
Oh, that's awesome, and congratulations on all that you're doing and the vision that you have.
Thank you.
When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about where you see art in the Virgin Islands going forward, and about the interest, the local interest in art evolution as we continue to expand our base, our art base, and artist base here as well in the Virgin Islands. We're speaking with Amy Gibbs. She is the artist, visiting artist of the month down at the Caribbean Museum Center for the Arts come July. And great having a great conversation with her. We'll take a break, come back right after this.
During a busy day, it can be hard to make room for even one more thing. So it's a real plus that All Things Considered from NPR News is great for multitaskers. You can confidently add being well-informed to your to-do list and know that you will get it done. Whether you're cleaning out your junk drawer on a quick drive or something else, listen to All Things Considered every weekday afternoon.
From 5 to 8 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
I'm Deepa Fernandez from Public Radio's Midday News magazine, Here and Now. We'll bring you all the news that happens between the morning headlines and the afternoon wrap-up, plus conversations with authors and artists, stories that affect you, maybe a story about you. So please join us for Public Radio's Midday News magazine, Here and Now.
Weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1.
1A is your place for daily conversation with thoughtful guests and listeners from around the country. Fridays are home to our news roundups, where we answer your questions about the biggest stories of the week. I'm Jen White. This year, we continue to celebrate your freedom to listen, weigh in, and share what you're curious about. And with your help, we'll get to the heart of the story together.
Weekdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here on Analyze This. Arch Thursday is in effect, and we got artist Amy Gibbs, out of St. Thomas, out of the Rock, joining us originally from Charleston, South Carolina, but she's one of ours now. So good morning again, Ms. Gibbs.
Good morning.
So check this out, right? Remember I mentioned that we need to look at the Virgin Islands. We might be on the cusp of being an artist haven, right? Artistic town. Or artistic location,
yeah,
right?
So
check this out, right? I just pulled up a story real quick during the break, and I like to do research. And they got the top 10, the 10 most artistic towns in America, right? And this is matadornetwork.com. So we're going to start from 10 and work our way to number 1, and you're going to like this, guaranteed.
Okay.
Number 10, they got Detroit, Michigan. That's in the Midwest. Number 9, New Bedford, Massachusetts. Right? And they said Massachusetts is said to have around 20% more artists than the national average. That's New Bedford. Of course, these are cities that people don't really know about, right? New Orleans, for obvious reasons, right? Because, you know, they do things down there. They like to do their thing down there. That's number 8, right? So Detroit, 10. New Bedford, 9. New Orleans, number 8. Number 7, Santa Fe, New Mexico, right? They say emerging artists from around the country take a pilgrimage out to Santa Fe, not just to work, not just to show their work to a respected community of artists, but to learn from seasoned crafters who have spent decades fine-tuning their craft. So Santa Fe is number 7. Number 6, Marfa, Texas, 4 hours southeast of El Paso. Number 5, the Hudson Valley, New York, right? That's north of the city. Number 4, Taos, New Mexico, right? Mm-hmm. Number 3, Jackson, Mississippi. Of course, everybody knows Jackson, Mississippi now because of the case, the landmark case with Dobbs.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, with the Dobbs case last year on the Miami Roe v. Wade. Number 2, Pasadena, California. Everybody knows about the Rose Bowl, right? That's where that's at, right? And number 1. San Juan, Puerto Rico, right next door. You know what I'm saying?
Right next door.
Yeah, and they say the old San Juan district was the city's artistic home base for years. But these days, the Santurce neighborhood has gained more attention for its younger and grittier crowd. Bustled rank San Juan, 3rd in its list of best cities for young artists. And art publisher Phaidon named it one of the art cities of the future. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, right next door. And we got a lot of great artists here, right here.
We have a lot of great artists here. And that's another thing that I think is important that the nonprofit's going to do is to try to create more public works of art. Because I really want to, I think it has the power to unite community. And so, you know, getting artists together with kids and community, everybody has a hand, grandma, get everybody in there and taking some ownership and creating, you know, beautiful things to uplift in our communities.
So this is awesome that a city that is not part of the contiguous mainland is the number one city for art.
It really
in America.
Is. Number one.
Number one.
Number
according to this, according to this particular website. You know, everybody has their opinion, you know what I'm saying? But let's face it, man. We got a lot of history. We got a lot of rich history, a lot of talent, untapped talent in this part. And then, of course, the difference between us and San Juan is we speak the English language. You know what I'm saying? That's an advantage. I mean, we got to be very candid here. You know what I'm saying? That's an advantage that we have in the Virgin Islands. We are the American-speaking jurisdiction. In the Caribbean,
sure.
On Lake San Juan, where they speak Spanish. They speak some English down there. We speak some Spanish here as well. But I really believe that there's a high potential for art, the art revolution, the renaissance, you know, here and the Virgin Islands, to me, given our history, you know, being the birthplace of one of the greatest of all time, Camille Pizarro. I think we're poised. And we need artists like yourself, and we need to support artists like yourself and the different studios, the 81C, the Cane Roots Art Gallery, the Caribbean Museum Center, the Art Emporium. That's the name of yours, right?
Explorium.
Because, you know, it's the right thing to do.
Well, I feel I feel very fortunate in that the community really has supported what I did when I first created my space. I really created it to be created. It was meant for locals. I don't have anything against tourism. Obviously, we need tourism, and it's a wonderful thing, but there's so many things that are designed for that, and I really wanted to create a space for people that live here to come and enjoy and connect, you know, because it's artists for all ages, so you never know who's going to walk in the door. I mean, sometimes it's a senator who's sitting next to somebody who works at the beach, you know. It's just such a mix of ages, and so I always thought that if the community didn't support it, then, you know, I could always advertise to the tourists and go to the big hotels, which have contacted me to teach there and so forth. But, you know, I've been so fortunate that through these 10 years that almost every week we have a sold out class. You know, I have a limited space. I can only have 25 people in my studio. And it's really been wonderful to see the local support, and then for me to connect with people where I'm teaching their children, and then I meet the parents, and then they bring their parents when they come to visit, and so I get to meet the whole families, and it's really wonderful. It really gives me so much.
You feel confident that we've got some young people who have the potential to be great artists down the road?
Absolutely. Absolutely, unquestionably, and that's why I'm saying that I want to be able to help them as much as I can. I want to give them as much opportunity to showcase their work. They have here in St. Thomas, and I believe they do in St. John too, they have a federation, a nonprofit for skating and surfing, and they've really done wonderful things too. And they have, they take one of the basketball courts. These guys created like ramps and so forth for the kids. Every week they get together and they invite kids to come. You know, they get some funding and they give skateboards to kids who, you know, maybe wouldn't have them otherwise, and they teach them how to skate. And I hooked up with them and had my advanced students, you know, were able to paint the ramp. So any chance I have to give these students an opportunity to showcase their work, we do. Maria Stiles from St. Croix there, she always does Youth Art Month every year.
Yeah, she works for the
couple
works
years has been at the Children's Museum.
Yeah, she works for the Children's Museum, Maria. Yeah.
Yeah, the Children's Museum here. And so it's been really great for them to have a place to showcase their work. And now that I've created a gallery space in my studio, you know, we can have an art show there every year. And they'll, you know, one of the things that I want to do is I've wanted to do for years, and finally now getting the nonprofit in place, I think I'll be able to get the funding to do it, is that, you know, there's a problem here. What I see in St. Thomas is with the trash of people. There's a lot of trash that winds up, you know, on the road outside of the dumpster. And I feel that if we could paint the dumpsters, if we could beautify, you know, you get an artist, you get a bunch of kids together, they have an idea and they see how all of it comes together, and maybe people would take a little bit more ownership if they say, oh, my granddaughter painted that, you know, painted that, or my uncle or whoever, and just beautify and just uplift the community that way through art.
No, man, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. I was reading, while you were talking, I was listening to you and reading about city number 6, Marfa, Texas, the one that's 4 hours southeast of El Paso. And they say NPR, and of course, you know, we're at NPR station, called this town a Western-themed outpost of Brooklyn. Right? And they said Marfa was headed towards becoming a ghost town until a minimal artist, Donald Judd, came in the 1970s wanting to escape the New York City art scene. He converted an old army base into a gallery of art, and since then has attracted artists hoping to follow in his footsteps. These days, the town of 2000 still has only one stoplight and no hospital, but still maintains...
It only has 2,000?
Yeah, but still maintains a thriving art scene that keeps the town alive.
Wow.
With screenings, readings, gallery shows, and more. These are the things that you're talking about. The small size, harsh environment, and lack of amenities naturally selects an artistic crowd that's young, committed, and as NPR put it, truly hardcore, and they have the Marfa Film Festival every year. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to be this great city with all this awesome population, all that stuff. You know, you could be creative, innovative, you know what I'm saying, and make things
which
happen.
We
and we already have it. Look at the way our buildings were constructed from back in the day. You know what I'm saying? And we got the great waterfront.
Absolutely.
You got Hassalelan right across the water. We got some vistas and picturesque, vistas, you know what I'm saying, that could draw people here. I'm serious. I think we got some potential.
Absolutely. And, I mean, that's one thing that Lucien also talks about a lot, is he's really trying to unite the artists of all three islands, because it is a little bit, you know, separated. Even to come to St. Croix, I know that now they have another airline, but I think it used to be a little bit less expensive.
Nah, man, it's ridiculous what they're charging us to fly over here from St. Croix to St. Thomas. A 20-minute flight.
I think it's like $300.
Yeah, 25-minute flight. You could pay upwards of $400 round trip. It's $199 each way. That's crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, and these are the things that we need to work on, you know, because you can't. You're not going to maximize your potential if the cost of everything is too high. That's just a fact.
Right. No. Right. Absolutely. So. But I know he talks about wanting to unite the artists, that one day you can get a group of us that will go to, I hope I'm included in that, that will go to Art Basel, for instance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think he's working on it, and we were talking about doing a fundraiser over here the same way that he did New Blood there to do something similar here in St. Thomas. We were probably looking at doing that maybe in November at Antilles School.
Let me ask you this question. As an artist, what was the first thing went through your mind the first time you saw Moko Jumbi?
The first time I saw Moko Jumbi?
Yeah. What was the first thing that went through your mind as an artist?
I mean, I think awe-inspiring, you know? it's just awe-inspiring.
To see this scarecrow, a scarecrow on stilts, what was that like? a beautiful scarecrow, you know, all dressed up in stilts and dancing and all that stuff. As an artist, tell us what went through your mind just looking at this awesome creation, because that's what it is.
It is an awesome creation. I'm trying to remember, because, you know, like I said, I've been here 25 years.
Probably been to a parade or to an event or something.
I can't, to be honest with you, I would be lying if I said I know exactly the moment the first time I saw it. Mm-hmm. Even I can't say the first time I saw an iguana or because it's been a while. Like, to me, this is so much of, like, I've grown up. I feel that I've grown up here. I feel like I came into my own here, so it's hard for me to remember the exact first time.
No. You don't have to be exact. I mean, that would be unfair to you. But just as an artist, visualizing, you know, what it, because, you know, y'all people see the finished product, but they don't see the hard work that you put in, the time, the sweat, the tears. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure the same thing applies to, you know, building stilts and getting someone up on them, and then them having to learn how to balance themselves and being able to show off dancing, being on one leg. They're so good that they could do it on one leg, you know, things like that.
Right. No, it's incredible. I mean, I have some friends whose kids learn to do it, and so I like to see those kind of, like you say, like behind the scenes and what goes into all of what makes it. And I know, I'm sure you know, Yisrael Peterson.
Yes.
He's kind of our famous Mako Jumbi here.
Yeah. On St. Croix, Willa John is the Mako Jumbi king of the Virgin Islands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. My
suggestion would be that we look at a date in the winter time. You know, they come out. Camille Pizarro, his birthday is July, and everybody likes to travel to the northern tier states during that time of the year for obvious reasons because the weather is good. But if we could look at a date in the winter time to hold our arts festival, I mean, we could really do some significant damage.
Yes,
pun intended.
I love the idea. You know, I think it's wonderful. I'd love to be involved any way that I can.
Do a Virgin Islands Art Festival in the wintertime. I know they'll buy that ticket to come down here and I want to be in this beautiful weather that time of year, selling their work or at least putting their work on display, and then, you know, getting those big art. Next thing you know, we got a auction. You know, I want that. How much? $200,000. So now I'm willing to pay $300,000 for that. And then next
I
thing,
like the way you're talking here.
Nah, man. I want for y'all to make what's yours, man. So looking forward to seeing you here next month.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy yourself. Continued success at the Art Explorium. Amy Gibbs, a transplanted Virgin Islander. You right?
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on your show.
No, I appreciate you. This Arts Thursday on Analyze This. We do this all the time. Thanks for being on and looking forward to meeting you next month, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Good. That's Amy Gibbs, artist out of the Rock, Art Explorium, and she's going to be at the Caribbean Museum Center for the Arts. In July, she's going to be the visiting artist and doing some outreach and all that stuff, and guaranteed to fall in love with the sunset off the Frederickstead Pier, the Annie Robinson Pier down in the west. Thank you very much to the Women's Coalition of St. Croix. Good luck with the walk on Sunday. Thank you, Danny Challenger. Thanks, Mary Soul, Kira, everybody up at Mountain Top, and everybody who makes the show, and Sharon Bonds hooking me up with the programming and all that stuff for tonight. Talk to you tomorrow. Be good. We see a great show coming up tomorrow. Okay? WAPA and Caribbean Dance Company. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! Democracy Now! Features ideas and voices from some of the best minds of this generation and previous ones, including activists, muckrakers, visionaries, artists, risk-takers, academics, and just folks, as in the most just folks, who share a commitment to truth, democracy, justice, diversity, equality, and peace.
Catch Democracy Now! At its new time, weekdays at 10 a.m. here on WTJX FM 93.1.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.